Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together, and if it is on your mind, it will be on mine. We will get to Chuck Mangione and to Hulk Hogan, both very sad. But in the case of Chuck Mangione, they were 84 years old and a life well lived, and an interesting one at that that we'll discuss. But there was something I meant to talk to you about last night, and that is I'm always bombarded by publicists for this, that, or the other. So this came from a publicist who was wanting us to interview a car dealer. I'm not making that up. But the push was, and this stunned me, said, half of parents dread school pickups and drop-off because all of the other moms at school are judging what you drive. And apparently surveys by Consumer Reports and AAA found out that what you drive conveys social status. So if there's a lineup of Range Rovers and G-Wagons and Teslas crawling through a jammed parking lot in an older, dinged-up car can be mortifying, they say. Now, of course, it goes on from there. Like I say, they want you to talk to the dealer, and they say more than half of all car purchases are made by women, and here's a woman-centric thing. Never mind that. Let's get back to car envy for a moment here. Because if you're a child of the 50s or the 60s, you remember so well September when the new car models debuted. And everything was American, of course. And one was just better than the next. I mean, was there anything better than like a 1959 Cadillac? Yeah. Or, you know, the famous 1957 Bel Air from Chevy, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in the 60s, the muscle cars, you know, and I loved these cars because all of them had style. Granted, not necessarily the best track record for running, but they looked good. Now, compare that to today. When a Mercedes looks like a Ford, we got a problem. And as I drive down the street, I am constantly looking at all the other cars because, again, coming out of the 50s and the early 60s and then even into the mid-60s with the muscle cars after that, I don't know. But it was just one after the other was just a sight to behold. And, oh, there were the clunkers, too, no doubt about that. But there were so many things that just float your boat when you look at them, you know. And today, like I said, years ago, they look like they're hatched by overachieving chickens, you know, for all that aerodynamic smoothness and all that. They just don't look good. And I admit the latest change in the Corvettes since about 2020 or so, that's a good-looking car. But after all my years of being stranded by Corvettes, I don't know that I'd be willing to go there again. Yeah. Plus the fact that, of course, I got my payback from GM when I got a 1995 Z28, which I bought because it had a Corvette engine in it, and the option was only like $1,000 more. And I thought, who can pass this up? And so the sticker price was only about $21,000. Like, sign me up. I still have that car. Yeah, runs like a dream. Got a few hundred thousand miles on it. And it's just terrific. So I'm keeping that forever. But and it was a payback because I got to see all of America stuck on the side of the road because of a Corvette. You haven't lived until you're in Monahans, Texas for a week. And you're going through the phone book because what else is there to do? And you find out that the only section that's more than two pages is for drill bits. So, yeah, I don't think I'll go with that Corvette. But other than that, I can't think of one of them. You know, I mean, we don't have any. Now, it may be true. I haven't seen the Lamborghinis of late, but I'm talking about cars that the average person could afford anymore. That's none, but let's say afford to finance. So I'm not that concerned. But I understand from everyone I know who has late model cars that some of them are just divine at driving. And so many refinements and features, and you know, some are so quiet you just don't feel the road. Yeah, which is scary right there. You get velocitized and don't realize you're doing 75, that kind of thing. But on the outside, they do not look enviable. So when I looked at this this woman publicist's article that she wants me to talk to the car dealer, not going to happen, because of a big problem with car envy, no, I don't buy it. And yeah, man, I'd give up a few miles a gallon for a nice fin. All right, so wouldn't you? 888-876-5593. Or remember in the early 60s when electric windows were just so fast you'd practically lose your fingers if you didn't get them out of the way? That was living large. Or 66 when that Oldsmobile Tornado came out with that, you know, that wonderful speedometer where the numbers moved and the dial was stationary. Loved that thing. And of course, front wheel drive and all that. Yeah, I could go the Riviera. I could go on and on. I can't say anything about today's cars. But like I say, from people who are driving them, they are just thrilled. But as far as good looking, I can't find a one of them. They all look the same to me. Yeah, and at least this year we're starting to see some colors. Because up till now, it seemed like everything was, you know, it was black or it was gray pretty much, maybe some whites. But let me, I'll close with this while I'm griping, why not? The deal with colors is there seems to be this trend now to have them be flat. You know, I mean, metal flake where it looks so deep and nice. I like that. But I'm seeing cars that are, they're shiny enough, but they're absolutely flat. It looks like they just polished primer. And every day I see more of these. And some of the colors like primer gray, that apparently is a big color this year. What is going on? Well, anyway, I'll leave it at that. But it rang a little hollow when this publicist was telling me about car envy. I ain't buying it. All right, 888-876-5593. Dennis is on the road. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. You got me all riled up talking about cars and old cars and new cars.
Yeah.
I can't begin to tell you. Well, first of all, one of my favorite daily drivers is a 1978 car that I bought brand new.
What is it?
And a Mercedes 300 CB.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, built like a brick shirt house. It'll never die.
Right.
But I've had other cars. I've had other cars since then. But anything after about 2002, you can have.
Yeah.
The metal is thin. The quality of work is poor. Even in the higher end quality brands, people are buying BMWs and BMW and Mercedes are running into $20,000 and $30,000 repair bills to repair displays and stuff like that. There's a computer in a BMW that's sitting down underneath the floorboard, $8,000 to replace.
Oh man,
nuts! I don't want that.
Well, right, and when you say computers, of course, gone are the days where you could work on your car. Gone are the days the guy next door could work on your car. You know, I mean, it's just become nuts, and they just don't look good. You know, I look at what's on the road today, and nothing looks like that 1959 Eldorado.
No.
Oh, that Eldorado convertible. It looked like it was taking off. Either that or it was going to shoot bullets to the guy behind you. It was a wonderful car.
But not only that, they all look different.
Yes.
Today, you can't tell a Hyundai from an Audi, from a Kia, from anything. Now, there are a few that stand out a little bit. Of course, everybody knows what a Tesla looks like. They're all over the place. Lucid has a little bit of a different look that seems to attract attention. People are going to laugh. You might laugh. I had a 72 Gremlin. That was my first new car.
Okay.
Now I got the X package with a V8 and, the fancy stripes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I had so much fun with that car because the power-to-weight ratio on that thing was absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And These guys with these $6,000 at the time, which was a lot of money.
Right.
Z28s and Camaros. You know, I had dual exhausts that made a little noise and had the black stripes. And they'd come up beside me and they'd try to, you know, they'd want to race. And I would smoke them.
Yeah.
Because I had this little $2,800 roller skate and I'd run away with them.
No, I remember and that. That was a 304 V8.
And 304 V8.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that if you didn't get that and you got a 6, it was an inline 6. So
yeah,
that was.
And it had terrible suspension.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The V8s had a big, huge anti-sway bar.
Yeah.
And it tracked really well and had better tires and stuff. But no, the regular Gremlin was kind of a POS. But
right.
I tell you what. Today's electric cars are redefining acceleration. They're redefining. They're slowly redefining range. Finally, there's some cars out there that are starting to get 400 and 500 miles range.
That's
and
nice.
Before that, I never thought about an electric car. I drive too far, and I don't want to sit here and worry about mileage all the time.
Right.
So the new cars, some of the new cars have got 300 and 400 miles, 500 miles range on them, and you can drive to California and stop twice for a little charge up, and you need to stop anyway. You can't drive 500, 600 miles without stopping. And
let me ask you about that power, because of course, as you well know, torque, pickup, and all that is a lot different than absolute power, and it's pretty easy to make these cars really peppy on torque. But how powerful are they? You know, you're going uphill, you're in Colorado, and you're passing that truck. How powerful is that engine?
It's blinding.
Nice.
It's blinding.
Nice.
It redefines power as you know it. A gasoline engine, as you speed it up, it horsepower increases, but torque decreases.
Right.
As speed increases, on a well-designed electric car, it just keeps pulling, and pretty soon you're doing 160 miles an hour, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, that's nice.
So
that's really nice.
It has defined that. Now I will never drive a car 160 miles an hour, but knowing that capability
right.
is there, when
yeah.
you need to get by that the two or three cars, you got a nice straightaway there, and you can do what gasoline cars can't do. Period. End of story.
That's
just
nice.
Boom, you're gone. You're around them.
No, that part is lovely. And yeah, as more and more charging stations, especially the ones that are souped up enough that you're not going to be there for 4 hours, that's nice.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, well, interesting.
Yeah, the new ones do, you know, 250, 300 kilowatt hours, and you can put 250 miles in a car in 15 minutes. And that's the length of time it takes you to go into, you know, to get a Coke and a hot dog and go to the bathroom. And when you come out, you've got another 300 miles, which is about what you want for your next stop.
No, and you know, those Lucids are not bad-looking cars, but they just don't have the wow factor. And especially since they're electric anyway, and we're not worried about miles to the gallon, give me a couple fins. Do something.
What do you do? A couple of fins.
Yeah.
One fin, part of the reason it's the slippiest car on the planet, and part of the reason is because it's so low to the ground.
Right.
So if you're tall, it's a little bit of an e-bender to get in and out of it. Once you get in it, it's bigger than an S-Class.
Nice.
You've got enormous backseat room. You've got more. You've got as much trunk and frunk space as no Tesla can come close to it. The front trunk in a Tesla, which I like to call a bonnet. I never like the word frunk.
Yeah.
you might be lucky to put a suit bag in it, but on the Lucid, you could put a big suitcase and a whole bunch of stuff.
No, man. Well, I'll say, you know, as I say, they don't float my boat in terms of appearance, but the one thing I'll give Lucid well over Tesla is you at least can get an AM radio in the thing.
Yes. I wouldn't have bought it without one.
Good for you.
It was here. I admit it. I bought one, but I would not have owned a car without an AM radio.
Good for you. Yeah. And
no, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's my gripe with Tesla. And when every time I hear Elon Musk's name, I growl, and people say, "Don't you like his politics?" I'm like, "It's nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with the fact that there are no AM radios in these cars."
I decided against Tesla long before all this other stuff happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's the engineering that went into the thing. I'm not dissing Tesla. They started the revolution. They got it all going. They got people interested in it. He does some amazing things. A lot of credit is deserved to him, but the power to weight ratio of the drive unit in the Lucid is 2.5 times better than that in a Tesla. And it's just because Tesla said, Lucid said, "I think we can do this better." And they did a ground-up design. And I'm not advertising for Lucid. It's not a car for everybody. But it is... It redesigned the AC synchronous motor. There's no other AC synchronous motor on the planet that's like this thing.
Yeah.
The differential is built inside of the hub of the motor, and that is unheard of. And that cuts the friction and the weight way, way down. And that's one reason that they can put such huge front trunks and rear trunks in those cars.
Interesting. You know, I will.
They're right here in Arizona.
No, I know they are. In fact, they're on the county next to us. And as I say, the fact that they're putting AM radios on their cars, kudos to that. So I'd be willing to go and check it out. It's interesting because in Arizona, one of the things that comes up often is some of the financing behind Lucid, including, I think it's Saudi Arabia. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, aren't they invested in us buying gasoline? Hang on a minute, don't go away.
Yes.
Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up, and we'll get to Carl in Riverside, and we'll start Jimmy P's six-pack with the Sapphires next on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Sapphires, 1964 on Swan. Kenny Gamble wrote it. Label says Gamble Ross because Jerry Ross was involved at the time, but that was a Kenny Gamble record. I loved the Sapphires. They were not a girl group, by the way. That was two guys and a gal, New Jersey, I think, now, but Philadelphia at the time, and just a wonderful song. So that's the first of Jimmy P's six-pack. And now you've heard that. All right, so we're talking to Dennis, owner of a Lucid. And so carry on, Dennis. I forget where we were.
Well, I don't want to belay electric cars to the Midwest for too long. Everybody's kind of made their mind up on that. But I want to go back to your original comments about working on old cars.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, there was socialization involved. You could get in and tweak the... vacuum advance, the carburetors, the jets, the ignition. You get in the J.C. Whitney's catalog. You say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. You get together with your friends. You'd get on a dirty set of jeans and an old set of T-shirts and a dirty pair of tennis shoes, and you climb in there and you'd make it work.
Yeah.
And it was socialization. It was building character. It was building relationships and learning how to work with people. And that is something that is sadly missing from today.
Yeah, it was also great for bolstering self-image and confidence. Because when you do something and it would work, it's like, wow. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and now you can buy something.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
And big deal.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I don't know.
coming
back full circle, I just can't believe that there are a ton of PTA moms that are having car envy in line. I'm just not buying it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, there was a little bit of that when I was a teenager. The family that had the biggest, newest station wagon with the electric windows and the rear windshield wiper and stuff, that was a prestige thing. But
it was cool. You know, that's what I mean. Of course, there was a lot of envy back then. Oh, man, because they were all different. And, man, you know, God forbid you're driving that Dodge Dart. You know, I mean, it mattered. And I just can't imagine fostering that type of a feeling in cars that look all the same today. Yeah, they just
they all
don't
look the same.
Yeah,
they all look and act the same.
Yes,
and it's all about it's all about mileage, but
and performance.
I will say that I recently drove from my home in Golden, Colorado, to Phoenix, Arizona, with two charging stops.
That is amazing.
And that just makes it very convenient.
They're
getting there.
Good. Good. Well, good to hear. And always good to hear from you, Dennis. Thank you.
It's good to hear from you, too. And keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks.
By the way,
yes.
I still have some of your Sirius XM stuff. And you haven't lost it.
Oh, man.
Keep it up.
You know, it's funny you say that. I don't have any air checks from those days. But when I was packing up the 45s to leave one location to another, I have hundreds of air checks from radio stations that some of them aren't even on the dial anymore. I thought, why am I keeping this stuff? But so I'm not sure I will, but, you know, just in case anybody wants to hear hours on end of KOA or King or, you know, I got them. All right.
Well,
thanks.
Well, I don't know about KOA, but I mean, I don't have any KOA, but I've got I got SiriusXM.
All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Yeah, I never taped any of that stuff. No, John did, actually, though, because we had best stops when we'd go away. And I think originally we were taping that on VHS tapes. So I've got drawers full of VHS tapes with that stuff. So I guess we do have some of that. But yeah, earlier, you know, some of those call letters, many of which are not on anybody's dial anymore. Oh, man. All right. So Carl in Riverside, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I didn't think I'd be back so soon, but Mr. Flugelhorn, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, did you care for him at all in the day? I'm
you
just
know,
curious.
Here's the, you know, I was saying to John, I said, I just can't play Feel So Good. That was such a big hit, and I was at WIBC in Indianapolis at the time, and we had to play that. I had to play that like two or three times a shift, and I was like, I'm never playing this record again. So a little burnout on that, but it was a huge hit for him. And, of course, you know, he was a jazz musician. And it's funny because I always kind of got a kick out of the fact that just like all the country performers who always claim they wanted to be mainstream, but when somebody was mainstream, they'd basically diss them to hell and back. Well, it really is that way in the jazz community, you know, when Feel So Good's, you know, popping on top of the charts and all that, people are saying, well, he's just a pop artist. He's not a jazz musician. So it was funny that he went through that. But he had the last laugh. I think something like 16 Grammy nominations and 2 wins. And it was. And he was a star in his hometown. He was from Rochester, and you know, he was beloved there. So does it get better than that?
Well, one that comes to mind, and I think this was the one in regard to the Winter Olympics.
1980 Lake Placid.
Yeah,
1980 Lake Placid.
Is that the one?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Give it all you got?
Yes, absolutely.
That one I kind of like.
It was at the closing ceremony at Lake Placid. Yeah. So,
it had a little zippity-doo-dah to it.
Yeah.
Riley, I'll let you go in a minute. You know what? This is what I was supposed to do last night, and I couldn't make it. I was supposed to go down to Winner's Jazz Club in Chicago last night to hear Chris White and the rest of his crew. They were going to cover Dave Brubeck's album, Take Five.
Ah. Oh, man.
To do that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Really, you know?
Yeah. You would have heard Blue Rondo a la Turk.
I think it's right on the front of the album.
Yeah, it's one of my faves. Yeah.
But,
and Take Five was a killer record, too. You know, that was just, it was just Nirvana.
Love it. The Sax Man, what was, it doesn't come to mind. Do you remember?
Which one?
In Brubeck's quartet, the guy on sax.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think, too, now. Oh, man.
No cheating.
No, there's a way to cheat for this, but no, I don't. You know, I do know who this is. It was Paul Desmond.
There you go.
It was Paul Desmond.
There you go.
And
I really like going to see Chris White upon occasion because he does a really good job with Vince Guaraldi, Charlie Brown Christmas every year.
Oh, God. And, you know, really interestingly, while certainly a lot of people think of Paul Desmond as being part of Dave Brubeck's quartet, that's not it. You know, he was often with Jerry Mulligan or Chet Baker or a lot of people. So it was not just, just Brubeck by any means. And, of course, you know, died a long time ago. I think it was like lung cancer or something.
Yep. Anyway, hey, listen, I know there's probably a lot of people like to speak to you tonight. Thanks for... last question.
Yeah.
The gentleman that answers the phone, is that your better half?
Yeah, absolutely. That's John. Poor John.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he is...
I like him.
Yeah, best-natured person in the world. I mean, this is a guy who's an award-winning, you know, video and film producer and director and all this stuff, and I've got him answering phones on a radio show, and he never complains.
He sounds so laid-back, reserved,
is.
And balanced. That's why I like him.
He is. You know, we always used to joke, you kind of got to poke him a little to see if he's still breathing, but he is, absolutely.
Hey. Young lady, have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Yeah, and Paul Desmond was a big deal around San Francisco. I don't know if he was born there or not, but he certainly was there all the time, probably from there. All right, so 888-876-5593. Nick is in Baltimore. All right, Nick, great to hear from you. What's up?
Here I am again.
Yes, yes.
Let me second that. John is a very nice guy.
Yes, he is. Best nature. He's the antithesis.
Yeah.
He's the antithesis of me. Nothing ever bothers him.
Oh no, you're both great. listen, save those air checks.
Oh, you think? All right.
Don't ever get rid of them.
All right.
I'd love to hear them myself. I told John I had a question about Miami Raid. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were. Talking again about Miami radio. Here's one question. When, and I know you told me this years ago, when did the Cubans start jamming?
After the Cuban Missile Crisis. What happened then was you had a couple Miami stations, most notably WMIE, which could really blanket Havana. And so you started to have them going Spanish, you know, that was an Edie Rivers station, 24 hours a day. And so at that point, that was the start of it. But when they really, really amped up to the point that the FCC had to allow people higher power and all that, that was because of Radio Marti in Key West.
That was in the
you're talking the
80s.
Yes, that's right. And that's what did it. Radio Marti just absolutely infuriated him. And it was so funny because I remember Paul Drew was hired to program Radio Marti. You know, the guy had been at KHJ and all the RKO stations.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, man, right. We could have a hot clock here hot clock of propaganda. But, yeah, in response to Marti... Cuba went ahead and targeted some big AM frequencies, notably WGBS at 710 got hit very badly with that. INZ at 940 got hit by that. Not so much on QAM 560 or IOD 610, but there was a lot of it. And they were incensed earlier on, like I say, as soon as WMIE. Well, when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened, it was really weird because they actually the CIA allegedly, I've never been able to pin this down, and I worked there too at WQAM, but supposedly that they had some jingles made that told agents what to do and when to do it. I've never been able to prove it, but they definitely were using some of the bigger sticks. And it wasn't unusual. You know, during the crisis, WSB in Atlanta went Spanish during, for that week. And we always laughed about that because,
really?
And I'll tell you why it was so funny to us was, at that time, Trendex was already out of the business. So it was C.E. Hooper and Pulse who were the two rating companies. And WSB turns out being number one while they're broadcasting in Spanish. I'm like, come on, how many people in Fulton County are listening to this? But yeah, you had quite a bit of that. But MIE, notoriously, they became WQBA. And I think it was 1140. They were the big gun in town for years for that.
Were they 50,000?
No. But they just really... hung in there as far as that goes. They were it was like a pipeline to Tijuana, and 1140 is a Mexican clear and a U.S. clear. I think RBA in Richmond is the Class A, and in something in Nuevo León, XAM MR, I think probably. But anyway, that was a very big deal. And in fact, they stuck with Spanish even after that, and later were, like a charter affiliate of Univision and all that, like much, much later. But yeah, so that 1140, oh man, that drove them crazy.
I know that 710 still gets pelted at night.
Exactly. They gave them a variance, and I don't remember what they did as far as that goes. Yeah, that was George B. Storer's station for a zillion years, WGBS, George B. Storer, and built a beautiful building on Brickell, and it was a red brick building, like three or four stories tall. Now, of course, they tore it down to put a high-rise on it, just like the Storer headquarters were 1177 Kane Concourse. It was just a venerable building. I loved it. Used to walk by it all the time, and now it's some damn condo. They tore it down, so... I'm going back 60 years, so of course it's all different.
Yeah, well, the GBS, they had several formats. I mean, were they always 24 hours? Right?
Oh, of course, yeah. But no, they actually, in their heyday, had one format. They were MOR, and, MOR morphed into Pop Adult. They'd go off on tangents, like for a while at night. In about 1970, 71, thereabouts, they tried like a hard rock thing at night with Trish Robbins, and that didn't do much. But mostly it had been MOR. The morning man was Arnie Warren. He'd been around since Dirt. I think he was definitely from Massachusetts, but I think Fall River. And he had a sidekick, quote unquote. In other words, he threw his voice. Amos T. Rutledge. And Amos T. Rutledge would do the weather. But Arnie Warren gave people a run for their money. He was a big deal. He tried to hire me a couple times. I'm like, nah. But, not nice enough guy, but I just didn't think I would fit their mold, to say the least. So, yeah. Yeah, but they were venerable. GBS. Now, if you're talking ratings and you're talking MOR, you got to go to IOD because that was the big one.
They were MOR, and I had a question about
okay,
that.
Okay, hang on a minute. John says, shut up. It is time to play. It's the cavalcade of commercials coming up on WGN Radio. My fault, sorry.
It's a place, a pleasurable pool. It's a place, a pleasurable pool. It's a place, a pleasurable pool.
Treated you bad.
The Barons. Yeah, and Jimmy P loves Pledge of a Fool. They're from Stamford, Connecticut, and Jimmy Yenner was the lead singer in that, and they were on Epic for that record, amazingly. And then the next thing they had, that was in 63. About 3 years later, RCA released something, and that pretty much it for the Barons. But that was Pledge of a Fool, and a fine song it was, too. So that's three of Jimmy P's six-pack, and I hope he's hearing them all. All right, so we're talking to Nick in Baltimore about Miami radio. You know, one of the interesting things, and this was true of other places like Dallas-Fort Worth, in the 50s, the early 60s, Miami was a separate market ratings-wise from Fort Lauderdale. And so, therefore, you had a lot more parity if somebody didn't have a terrific signal. But when they combined the two to be Miami-Fort Lauderdale, now, you know, like a WQAM is going to come up way on top. A WFUN doesn't have a prayer. You know, a WSR in Fort Lauderdale doesn't have a prayer. So, you know, IOD had that wonderful 610 signal. And, you know, yes, GBS at 710 was pretty good. And INZ at 940 was all right. But, you know, you get to like FTL 1400 and Fort Lauderdale, forget about it. So that was part of it. But yeah, the mid-60s, the wonderful Isle of Dreams, after they had been top 40 as WCKR, when they came back as WIOD, they were huge.
Yeah, that was in fact, I was able to get them one, I think in the winter of 2000, I had my first back operation, and it was a week before we had the blizzard. And I got IOD and QAM, and that was the first time I've ever heard those stations up this way. The question I had about IOD was, are they gonna get a power increase, or did they already get it?
I don't know what happened there. Was a heartbreak. They had originally been owned by Sunbeam with Channel 7 and all, and then they were Cox, and anyway, then they were Clear Channel, but they were located on the 79th Street Causeway, and this was such a beautiful site. It was right there, by Biscayne Bay. Didn't get nicer than that, and they had the rights to that site as long as they renewed the lease. Well, wouldn't you know, at some point Clear Channel forgot to renew it? Well, my God, you know, there was no going back then. They were just too happy to get rid of them. So they had to relocate that tower. So that is probably the biggest. It was a beautiful site. And, they lost it, literally, administratively. So I don't know what they're doing now or what they're trying to do. But it was, 610, 5 kilowatt. It was a nice signal. But, that water conductivity was just too good to be true.
Well, I got them in Fort Myers. Day and night.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And as well as DBO at 580 in Orlando.
Yeah, it was right there on the 79th Street Causeway. That particular little island was Cameo Island, and it was there from the 20s. I mean, a long time. And I think in 81, when Radio Marti really geared up, they gave them 10,000 watts, but it was an STA. It was temporarily, and I don't think it got to keep it. But the big thing was that they lost that site, which was a wonderful vantage point.
Well, I went on Radio Locator, and supposedly they've either got a construction permit to go 50 a day and 20 at night.
Well, now, here's what's weird. I'd be very curious because their tower site, from what I understand, is now like Chrome Avenue. I mean, that's very deep south in Miami. You know, that's practically Homestead. And you know why they did that? You know, this can't be right. And so they got a transmitter set on Chrome Avenue, but I thought they were in Broward County. I thought they were up in Pembroke Pines. So I gotta do some more looking on that. But anyway, they lost that 79th Street Causeway location.
So I wonder, and is that also, how does Key West factor into
Doesn't.
All that?
Well, if it did, it would factor more into Naples than Miami if you look at a map, but doesn't. There's no Key West station that penetrates Dade or Broward.
I mean, what do you?
There was something in Marathon that used to be able to get, but it never did anything. But as far south as you went was Homestead, and those little Homestead stations didn't get anywhere. Remember, there was one WIII. It was a CBS affiliate. They had three CBSIs on the building. Yeah, right. But that was there was nothing there. I mean, the only thing in South Miami is, you know, when they created that 790 through those frequency swaps, and they had to, you know, carve a place for them because they originally had been in Miami Beach on the blimp base, and they did these swaps, and they wound up going to South Dade. And that was pretty far south. And that, you know, when it was Dade Broward combined, that hurt them. Because, you know, they couldn't penetrate Fort Lauderdale at night, same way that, you know, like an SRF couldn't penetrate Miami at night.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always just wondered about, you know, Key West. I mean, I guess you get some of the Miami stations.
Yeah, right. But you know, it's not going to have much of an impact. Just like I don't know how far into the Keys you'd get some Key West stations, but who would care? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, when you talk about it, it really only matters if they can be a market factor, and nothing in Key West could be.
One of the things, though, I remember when. This is before the internet, of course. Back in the 80s when we had, the hurricanes would come through.
Yeah.
And here we are in hurricane season again. I know that whole thing with you can go, you know, with your daytime signal full time if you under a storm like that. And I used to, you know, I'd get INZ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the hurricane coverage. This is when Paxton owned it.
Right.
And, they do storm coverage, and I'd start and listen to that again before the internet. I remember Hurricane Andrew. You know, this was the coverage, you know, from INZ,
right?
And they were full time with the 50,000 watt signal. And
Key West was interesting because, like I say, if you look at it, you're really looking in some ways closer to Naples than you are to Miami. But so depending, I mean, if you're intent on listening to the radio, you're not only going to pick up the QAMs and IODs, but you're going to pick up the West Coast. So it wouldn't be out of the question that during the day you'd get, Pinellas Park, the 1040. You wouldn't get the 1010, but, so you'd see that where, Venice or Marco Island, you could, Fort Myers, you could hear that, but, you know, who listened to it? And there,
right.
You know, I mean, there was a station in Marathon, 1330, I think probably had more impact than any of the Miami stations. And like I say, that old WIII, which I think is Spanish now or something. Well, hell, that wouldn't be a stretch. But, but that 1600, that WKWF, I don't know. I think that's on AM. Now, if you're talking on FM, and I must say that I was gone before FM was a big deal, but I would think that you weren't getting anybody on FM. Now you're talking the Keys, Key West, or Marathon or Big Pine, but that's it. I don't think there was any. And you know, some of the Miami FMs, like WYOR, they had 150,000 watts. So that's kind of nice. So, that existed, but to my knowledge, nobody heard them.
It would be too far.
Right.
Just like with television, you know, you'd have to.
Well, CATV.
Cable.
Right, exactly. CATV, absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, I thank you for this. I didn't mean to take so much of your time.
Oh, always good to talk to you.
I will come up with something next week again.
I'll look forward to it.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of FM in Key West now. Not necessarily a lot of power on them, and some are translators, of course. But, yeah, there's a lot of that. But back in the day, yeah, it was interesting. You could hear Miami. You could hear Tampa. Some of it, you know. So, anyway, but how many people were listening to anything in Key West? 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. All right, we'll get to Billy Bob, we'll get to Ken, but Laura in Willowbrook takes the stage. The play happened over the weekend. Three big performances. Tell me all about it.
Oh, my gosh, Raleigh. It was one of the best things I've ever been involved with.
Wow.
And you were a great help. Thank you for having us on your radio.
Oh, my
cast really had a blast.
Good.
Everything sold out. We didn't have one ticket to spare.
Oh, good.
It was such a... And you now have more listeners because people... I says, oh, y'all got to listen to Raleigh James.
Yeah.
So it's a great show. So you now have more listeners. So thank you for that.
And by the way, I should mention that, you know, the show we did, that's in perpetuity on the internet. So it's right there under RaleighStream.net. Go to downloads and just under that date, it's there.
Oh, cool. Okay, thank you. The first prize, excuse me, we had, of course, winners. So we had the first prize was Hope and Greg.
Hmm.
It's about this lady named Hope, who had a ghost under the bed, and she was growing up with a ghost since a little girl.
Okay.
That got first place. Of course, that's not ours.
Right.
Second place was Benevolence Alliance of Mourners, basically about two people that were going to a funeral and one was performing at it.
Ah.
That was second place. They got $100. First place got $200. Third place was College Hunk Movers, about this lady that hires hunks
okay.
to move her stuff.
All
Only
right.
the guy walks in and he's about 75 years old. So he's not a hunk and he's not even from college. She says, oh, you look like you were in college in the Reagan years. So, of course, that got everybody a laugh. So, of course, our winning is we did a great job. The show went well. We didn't win any of the money prizes, but it was just an all-around good time. And,
good.
Oh, my gosh. But it's amazing what you can do with, it's basically audience participation. Oh my gosh, everybody laughed where they were supposed to because we're always told, you know, every night one audience might laugh here, someone might laugh here. Sometimes people won't laugh.
Uh-huh.
You can't expect them to laugh, you know, but they laughed in the right places. So it's like, it really went well. And
now,
somebody says, you know, well, do you want to do this again? I'm like, oh, heck yeah. It's like, it was nerve-wracking, but, oh, I want to sign up for something again.
Oh, wow. Now, let me ask you, how did the sound effects go? Because we talked about that, you know, that whether you could do them or not do them. So how'd that happen?
Yes. Well, that worked out good. They played some sound effects, ghostly sound effects, or I should say, I don't want to say ghostly or just eerie type of sound effects.
Yeah.
They came over good and that had people wondering, like, what's that and why is that? One of the lines in the show is Carousel, about the play Carousel.
Yeah.
So they played music. When the show was over, they played the music from Carousel, which let it out really good.
Okay.
So, yeah, the sound effects, which they said, no, you can't do, but then they can, and it worked out great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so, oh, my gosh, it was exciting. Now it's like, okay, what's next? But you're going to laugh at this because now they're going to have a backwards Broadway. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
No.
But it's shows, like, if the leading man is supposed to be a leading man part, you're going to be the woman playing the leading woman.
Oh.
So it's backwards. Instead of a man, it's a woman. Or if the person's supposed to be like Annie's supposed to be at about 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have somebody that's about 60 years old playing Annie.
Okay.
So I'm gonna try out for this backwards Broadway and see how that goes.
All right. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, but it's just amazing how now I can say, okay, now I know 50 more people that I didn't know before. So, like, okay, this is, and it you really helped, Arl. You had some good inputs, and, well, what about this and what about that? So, I give you some credit there. Thank you.
Good. My pleasure. I'm glad that it worked out. And it sounds like everybody had a good time, and that's really the bottom line to this. So that's great.
Yes, and now I'm putting together one of my other theater groups, Naperville Summer Place. They like to do a viewing party.
Uh-huh.
So I'm putting together a viewing party. They're going to make a YouTube channel out of it. And then we're going to go to the local restaurant that has big screen TVs. They had a private room. And we're going to get together, have some pizza, and watch it on the screen. Even though, obviously, we all have seen it. Now we can critique each other and laugh and whatever. So it's going to be a blast.
I think that's terrific. That's a wonderful report. I'm delighted to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, Riley. Right. And you and John are great always. Have a great weekend.
Keep me posted. Thanks.
Will do. Bye.
And that's where we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Look, look, look for baby. Look, look, look for baby.
Run, 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 little, little chihuahua. Run, 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 little, little chihuahua. Run, 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 little, little chihuahua.
Look, look, look for baby. Look, look, look for baby.
I'm looking for my baby. Where, oh, where can she be? Whoa, someone here might be. Send me back to.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those, of course, are the Earls, and that's the fourth of Jimmy P. Six-Pack. I sure hope he's listening. And there you have it, 888-876-5593. Billy Bob in Bermenay has a request. And what would that be, Billy Bob?
Yeah, 48-time caller.
How about that?
When I was like 1964, 11 years old, I'd listen to the radio at 1 or 2 in the morning, and they had a song called The Cheater.
Oh, Bob Cuban and the Inman.
That's the Cuban, right? And the lead singer was like Walter Scott or something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes,
but
murdered.
They had a documentary or something about him getting killed or something.
Yep, yep, they found him in the septic tank.
But the point that I was wondering was what was it? I don't remember. Go ahead. And I want to request that song.
Okay. I'll be happy to play it. Yes, you betcha, on Melodyland. All right, my pleasure. Yes, yeah, St. Louis's own Bob Cuban was performing on those Mississippi riverboats really till fairly recently. So yeah.
Oh, I know what I was going to say was that when I listened to that night, it just shows you what's in your mind's eye, like on WCFL and WLS.
Mm-hmm.
That. I couldn't believe it. I always thought it was a black soul singer, that Walter Scott.
Well, Walter Scott.
He was a white guy. He had a different voice.
Yeah, Notheis was his last name. He absolutely was soulful and loved soul music and did a lot of it. And so, so yeah, and he was sadly, his second wife and the neighbor did him in.
Oh, okay. It was some documentary, but I got in at the end of it or something.
Yeah, yep, yep. The second wife, and the deal was she started having an affair with a neighbor. The neighbor turned out killed his first wife, too. They had to exhume her body to find out that, you know, she absolutely didn't die of an accident.
Didn't know that.
And so then, so they cooked up a deal, and he was off to perform in Pittsburgh on December 27th of, I think, 1983. And he never showed up. And so, you know, they all thought, well, he just flew the coop. And years later, it was actually the neighbor's son who was in jail at the time in Florida who kind of tipped off police that maybe they should look in that septic tank. And they did. And there he was floating in his leisure suit. Leisure suit was about the only part that was left.
What was that? Cuban, you said?
Yeah, Bob Cuban and the Inman. But Bob Cuban was a high school band teacher. And he moonlighted doing these cruises. And he played horn. And
they had any other hits. They had
a follow-up, which actually I kind of like the follow-up. Same feeling to it, but just some nice.
Well, I'm going to be horse, you know what, to you. And can you play one of that other song? Or do you think you got that one on?
I've got them all. Yes, believe me. And they did a lot of other stuff that you don't want to hear. Trust me. But
do something that you like that's different from the Cheater.
Right. The follow-up sounds a lot like the Cheater, but there's some nice vocals within it. And it was called the Teaser. And
it's just like a rip-off of it.
Well, it was. It absolutely was. But it was, I thought it was a nice little record. I'll play it after Jimmy P's six-pack. I'll play the Teaser for you.
Okay, and then one more quick thing, and then I go. Now, for different music, do you ever listen to Zydeco music?
No, almost never.
Okay, then I am going to request one of them then.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
All right,
then.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. And Ken is in Chicago. It's been a while. Ken, are you still there? Now, Ken left us. Apparently, it's been too long is what it was, but I appreciate his calling anyway, and hopefully he will at some point in the future. All right, so what are we doing here? I believe Kevin is in Colorado Springs. How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, it's been a while since I've talked to you.
Well, it's just too long. Now, how are you doing?
Oh, I think I'm kind of recovering from everything that's happened. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. So I try not to. It still bothers me, all the stuff that I lost.
It's terrible. And for people who don't know, Kevin, after a divorce, was living with his sister. And one day she unceremoniously said, well, we're moving you into assisted living. And by the way, we're just giving your CDs and music and all your tapes to Goodwill because there's no room. I mean, to me, that's justifiable homicide. I think you could have killed him. But but you didn't. And but I was thinking, because, you know, years ago, you had sent me a lot of music, and I remember this, and you probably do too. And I was wondering.
You still have it.
Yes, and I was wondering if you wanted it back.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm in the middle of moving location, so right now it's in a box, but eventually it will come out of the box, and it's like an 8 terabyte drive, and I'll just send it to you.
Okay, I'll give you my address when you're ready to do it.
So. Absolutely.
But anyway, first thing, you were talking about, it's been a while, of radio stations that raise their power at night. I used to work for Jack Ryan at KLYN.
Oh, wow, okay.
It was 1490 AM stereo in Manitou Springs, and it went kind of like northwest up the pass to Peter Park and all and those places up there. And so we got the notification from the FCC that we could raise power from 500 watts to 1,000 watts at night. Now, in Colorado Springs, where I lived, it didn't make an iota of difference. So the people who live northwest of Colorado Springs, up in Manitou and so on, they liked it because it certainly was a clear signal. But if you didn't live there, there was not much difference.
Yeah, well, the 1490 is your basic class 4 frequency, what it used to be. I know they've changed the designations, but class 4. And so originally they were 1,000 watts days, 250 watts night, non-directional. But over the years, it morphed up to 1,000 watts, 24 hours, non-directional. And the problem with the class 4 stations is they're crowded. There are so many signals on the same frequency because they don't require the same separation. So that's the problem there. But you mentioned that station, which Manitou Springs, for a while it was I think co-owned with KIIQ, and it was KIIQ AM and FM. I still have a T-shirt from them. It's one of my favorite T-shirts. And so
really?
I think that. It was probably around the time the AM became a tourist information station.
I heard that that format didn't last too long because I heard that, you know, when they pulled the cartridge out of the machine, it was just filthy because it was going around and around and around.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They went through several ownership changes, and they ultimately went dark, as far as I know.
I think so.
The translators, they had a couple of nice translators. I think Public Radio got those translator, bought them. That was the deal there. But it was an interesting little radio station. They had a very nice T-shirt, KIIQ.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
my first wife's son sent me an attachment of a show that I did on KCMN. It was Drive Time.
Oh, wow.
When was it? June 6th of 1987. And I was doing the Drive Time show because Jim Wheatley and everybody else were out of the Sand Creek Yacht Club getting ready for the boat show, which started the next day. I was just like, wow, where did you find that? He said, well, I recorded it. And
I saved
it all these years. Oh yeah, it was like.
So was that the 1530?
Yes, yeah. AM 1530 KCMN.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think Don Crawford actually bought those stations at some point. Crawford Broadcasting.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So
at that time, it was owned by what communication was it owned by? I don't remember. 87. Gee.
Yeah,
I don't remember who owned it.
I don't either. I remember that Crawford bought it, and I don't remember who he bought it from. And they, you know, obviously they had no nighttime signal because 1530 was a 1B clear frequency, but they had a daytime power of like 15,000 watts. That was really nice.
So, oh yeah, I was up in Denver and picked them up on a
That
transistor radio. I was like, "This is amazing."
Right, that was. But I don't know who had it before Crawford bought it. But I remember when he did. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But dark now, sadly. That was the end of Legends 1530.
Well, there's still something on it. 1530.
Is there really?
Yeah, it's okay. A classic hit. It's 107.3 in Colorado Springs and 101.9 in Pueblo.
Is this a simulcast with the 1230 in Pueblo?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's how they brought it up here, so we could enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, there you go. I didn't even know they were still on. Well, you know, they had 15 watts at night, so what can I say?
at night it was a horrible signal.
I was surprised they had the 15 watts when you're on a clear channel frequency, but they were.
It wouldn't even go down to security wide field at night.
So
I'm just hanging in there. I was really surprised that Hiram was able to send me portion of my show.
I'm so glad. And good. See, so little by little, you're reamassing your audio.
Well, exactly. I think it was June 6th of 1987.
Okay.
It was a Friday. Like, wow. And I let his mom hear it, and the first thing she said was, "Boy, you sure sounded young in those days." I'm like, "Well, didn't you?"
Right. Excuse me, that's going on 40 years? Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Raleigh. Yeah. Well, you take care.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Just getting better.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. So how nice. Okay, oh, wait, don't hang up. I'm going to have you give John your address. Now, it'll be a while, so don't hold your breath, but you will get that drive. Don't go away. All right, so sure, happy to do that. Kevin sent me a whole bunch of stuff, and I still have it somewhere. I know I have it somewhere because I put it in a box. All right, so we'll put him on hold. So so there you have it. Yeah, right. He sounded so young. Yeah, I was in Colorado also at the time at KOA. I didn't sound young at all. All right, so we'll... We'll get to, let's see, Bill in Chicago, and there'll be room for you two coming up. Linda in Richland Park. Hey, Linda, don't go away. And we'll have Eduardo in Tampa and Mark in Aurora, and room for you two on, we've got another hour of this and a little more coming up on WGN Radio.
Okay, 57:50 will be the off time.
Okay.
Summer's heating up, and so is the future of golf. The NV5 Invitational returns to the Glen Club July 24th through the 27th. Catch golf's rising stars chasing PGA Tour dreams, just like past champs Scottie Scheffler and Cameron Young. And thanks to the Big Ten Network, admission is free. Upgrade to the Trophy Club or Corona Cabanas for the ultimate fan experience. Who's golf's next star? Visit NV5Invitational.com for tickets and more information. The NV5 Invitational. Experience the future of golf.
Little League injuries are spendy.
Don't have accident insurance?
No. What's that?
It pays you benefits for specific injuries and events resulting from a covered accident. Use how you want, like toward out-of-pocket expenses. My coverage is offered through Midwest Coalition of Labor and Voya.
Life can throw curveballs. For costs and details, visit go.voya.com/MCL2023. This policy has limitations and exclusions. Accident insurance is underwritten by ReliaStar Life Insurance Company, Minneapolis, Minnesota, a member of the Voya family of companies.
Are you thinking about selling your home? Do you need more space? Or maybe it's time to downsize, but you're not sure where to start. I'm Sarah Leonard from the Sarah Leonard Team, and for over 20 years, I've been helping buyers and sellers navigate the real estate market in every type of economy. With 4 offices across Chicagoland suburbs, we know the market inside and out, giving you the right pricing strategy to sell your home for top dollar. Plus, our exclusive off-market opportunities connect buyers and sellers like never before. From preparation, pricing, to closing, my team will guide you every step of the way. Now is the time to make your move. Find out why we're one of the top real estate teams in the country. Call us today for a free, no obligation consultation. Visit SarahLeonardSells.com. That's SarahLeonardSells.com.
30.
This summer, enjoy all that Lake County, Illinois has to offer. Craft breweries and
5750.
Okay.
On our gorgeous lakes, thrilling rides and water slides, and don't forget our summer guide. Rockin' concerts after dark, historic farms, lakeside parks, Waukegan, wow, the great outdoors, and playing on a sandy shore. For more amazing things to do next weekend, let the ride.
Stand by.
You to visit lakecounty.org. Brought to you by Visit Lake County and Enjoy Illinois.
Go ahead.
Guided kisses, none of them true.
I'm not even sure what I did on that. All right, so here's guided missile. I have no idea. Guided missiles, and that is, of course, on Dutone, 1956. And guided missiles was the cufflinks, one of the many cufflinks. In this case, C-U-F-F, next word, L-I-N-K-S. Just like you'd expect, as opposed to L-I-N-X and other groups of the same name. Two words. And, yeah, they were from L.A., and guided missiles was big in locally, and that really, and it does pretty well in the doo-wop arena as well, but that really is sort of a medley of their hit. So that we have one more on Jimmy P's six pack, and I'm not sure I got the right one for the sixth one, because could it possibly be Dr. Victor? Yeah, and the Rasta Rebels. I think that might be a Chambala. So that could have been it, a little outside the doo-wop vein, but we'll play that and some more of your requests and more of your calls. We'll have Linda and Fran and Mark and Bill and Eduardo. And one line available for you if you want it right here on WGN Radio. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that. I have another minute. So I think. So I guess I better talk for a minute. Yeah, right. Like there's something to say. Hopefully you wrote your prosperity check earlier today. The new moon happened at 2:11 this afternoon. So the next thing that's going to happen will be a full moon. And let me see if I know when that is. I thought I had the list in front of me, but no, this is a list of the diary periods for Nielsen. Never mind that. All right. So, yeah. Oh, well, who knows? Maybe that's prosperity too for somebody. I don't know. But we'll look that up and more. Another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
For the past 23 years, the Indiana-Illinois-Iowa Foundation for
Fair Housing
has been raising the standards in the construction industry. They're the contractor's advocate in the public construction industry, helping contractors understand their rights and responsibilities under the law while monitoring public works projects for compliance of prevailing wage laws and OSHA regulations. Simply put, the Indiana-Illinois-Iowa Foundation for Fair Contracting helps workers understand their rights on public works projects. Visit IIIFFC.org for more information.
Lindenhurst is growing the right way. Through thoughtful planning and sustainable land use, the village is building a future that protects what matters most. With easy access to scenic lakes, forest preserves, parks, and major transportation routes, Lindenhurst offers a rare blend of nature, community, and opportunity. It's not just a great place to live, it's a smart place to grow. With local incentives and a welcoming, forward-thinking spirit, Lindenhurst is ready for what's next. Learn more at lindenhurstil.org.
That's the sound of the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, saving you money and energy. With rebates on Energy Star appliances, so you can come back to a home full of savings. Discover more ways to save at ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Do you know that Elvis Presley only won 3 Grammy Awards?
All the gold records and
with
platinum
the
records?
Gold. What's a record, Uncle D?
Do they have to change the way in which the Grammy Awards, the physical awards, are made these days? Because people just download music and you can't really see
an
the music
record yeah. anymore?
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about right now.
Sunday morning. Dean Richards.
Kevin, I got news for you. Most weeks we don't know what we're talking about either.
Sunday mornings at 9 on WGN.
Hi, this is John Landecker. Join me Monday through Thursday on a radio odyssey through the wild and the weird, making zero stops. And by the way, a good sense of humor is highly recommended on 720.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.
It is 78 degrees and cloudy at 12 o'clock. Good morning, I'm James Sears. An explosion at a suburban gas station sent residents into a panic. Plus, fast-moving storms dropped strong winds and heavy rain, causing damage across the area. WGN traffic, right now looking at the expressways and tollways. A bit of a slow spot on I-57 northbound between 115th and the Dan Ryan. A delay that'll set you back about 20 minutes. Thursday afternoon's thunderstorms brought strong winds, which dropped a number of trees. WGN's Dana Rebick is on the south side.
Never seen nothing like this before.
Vivian Jones has lived here at 71st and Sealy for 50 years and says she's complained about this tree before, worried it was getting old and could come down in a storm. One of the large branches damaging the front of her neighbor's house.
The branch went straight through the window. Yes, because you can see the cracks and all the glass right over there.
Another section bent the front gate of her fence.
I can't get out. I can't get out. I can go out my back door.
It's one of multiple locations across the south side with reports of downed trees.
The storms also took out an iconic sign from the White Fence Farm restaurant off Joliet Road in southwest suburban Romeoville. The strong winds knocked down a large oak tree, crushing the sign and part of the fence blocking traffic. We're told there are no injuries. First responders say a pair of main gas lines ignited after a thunderstorm rolled through Berwyn Thursday afternoon, leading to an explosion that leveled a gas station. WGN's Jenna Barnes was there.
It was just the loudest explosion I ever heard.
And the whole block shut.
A scene out of a movie drew a crowd to the intersection of Ogden and Oak Park Avenues in Berwyn, watching the aftermath of that blast as firefighters worked for hours to put out the flames at a BP Amoco gas station.
We were all in awe. I mean, this is, you know, like you live six houses away, you don't expect to see this ever.
There were no injuries reported. An ally of former House Speaker Mike Madigan has been sentenced to 2 years in prison. Michael McLean is one of the ComEd four convicted for bribing Madigan with jobs for his political allies at ComEd. He's the third to be sentenced. In return, Madigan had been expected to pass legislation favorable to the utility company. Prosecutors wanted McLean to spend 3 years behind bars. The defense pushed for probation, saying the 77-year-old has serious health issues that may worsen in prison. Chicago Public Schools has just over a month to fill a budget gap of $734 million. At Thursday's school board meeting, the interim superintendent reported on community feedback sessions and the priorities that emerged from families. Last month, CPS laid off 1,400 employees, which they say will save $165 million. Teachers' union members say their priority is no more job cuts. Mike Sikowski is CPS's chief budget officer. He spoke yesterday.
Over these last few weeks, we've been working hard to find ways to close the budget gap and keep the impact off of our classrooms. We heard that loud and clear from our communities.
The CPS needs to have its budget balanced by August 28th. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says he is not planning to propose a property tax increase in this year's budget. That's after the Chicago chief finance officer told Bloomberg Tuesday a property tax increase was likely going to be in the package presented to city council. Last year, the council rejected Johnson's bid to hike property taxes by $300 million. Mayor Johnson has said he wants so-called progressive revenue to help fill the $1.2 billion gap. Tensions between President Trump and Fed Chair Jerome Powell are rising again over Powell's refusal to lower interest rates. On Thursday, Trump toured the Federal Reserve Building in D.C. with Powell to take a closer look at the controversial $2.5 billion in renovations Powell signed off on. Reporter John Decker.
It seemed to me it's really part of a pressure campaign overall by President Trump to get the Fed to lower interest rates.
And Decker believes Powell will remain on the job even if the Fed doesn't lower rates next week. The Justice Department met with Jeffrey Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell in Florida. The meeting lasted for 6 hours. Thursday, Maxwell's lawyer said after the meeting, his client answered all the questions and answered them honestly. It comes as the Trump administration continues to face pressure from both sides of the aisle to release files connected with the convicted sex offender. Maxwell is serving a 20-year federal prison sentence in Tallahassee for sex trafficking. Well, a sinkhole opened up on the street Thursday morning in the Westtown neighborhood. City crews were called in to deal with it. Nearly a full block of West Walton Avenue had to be closed. It's a mostly residential area, just a couple blocks west of the Kennedy Expressway. No word yet on what caused the pavement to give way. WGN Sports Time, it is 12:04.
The Bears will hold the first training camp practice open to fans later today at Hallis Hall. Rookie Luther Burden III remains sidelined with a lingering hamstring injury. Fellow second-round pick Shamar Turner will also miss some time with a sprained ankle. The White Sox and Cubs start the final crosstown series of the season tonight on the south side. Adrian Hauser on the hill for the Sox, Shota Imanaga for the Cubs. Less than a week from the MLB trade deadline, the action has started. Arizona sends Josh Naylor to Seattle for a pair of prospects. And the Sky get blown out by the storm. 95-57, Angel Reese and Ariel Adkins both sitting out with injuries. Josh Friedman, WGN Sports.
Scattered showers, cloudy skies, and a few isolated thunderstorms will keep us closer to normal with our temperatures on Friday. Highs will reach into the low to mid 80s with light northeasterly winds, keeping us cooler near the lakefront. Friday night, expect lingering showers with overnight lows in the low 70s. Saturday starts out with scattered showers and a few isolated thunderstorms early in the day. We should see some drying and clearing by the afternoon. Winds will be breezy out of the southwest with highs into the mid to upper 80s. From the WGN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Alyssa Donovan.
And we've had 20 above 90 degree days at O'Hare this year. The average is 17. Last year there was 23, so it looks like we'll beat that number, at least tie it, in the coming week. Right now, taking a look outside, the dew points are 72 degrees, 71 out there, so that's leading to a muggy overnight for us. We have 77 degrees at O'Hare, 77 at Midway. It's 75 in Aurora, 74 on the lakefront. I'm James Sears, WG.
Stand by for tees.
Happens next scheduled news at 12:30.
Go ahead.
And I'm Raleigh James with another hour of whatever is on your mind and your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
When people think sleep apnea, they think CPAP. Now at Advent, we do all we can to help sleep apnea sufferers avoid the CPAP machine. And most sleep apnea sufferers who come to Advent are going to be able to avoid a CPAP altogether. Our unique Advent approach using simple in-office solutions can get your nose working and throat open all under one roof. You see, the root of every snoring and obstructive sleep apnea problem lies within the throat, nose, or both. At Advent, we know when we get the nose and throat working properly, most snoring and sleep apnea problems will subside. And we have the most simple and convenient, ultra-effective in-office solutions that can do just that. And this is why people have traveled by planes, trains, and automobiles from corners of the world you would never think of to find the sleep apnea and snoring relief you won't find elsewhere.
Go to AdventKnows.com to schedule your appointment, because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better. Most insurance accepted.
Don't you love summer in Chicago? Well, don't spend yours painting. Do what your neighbors did. They called Rhino Shield.
Looked at what it was costing me to have my house painted and realized that while it costs more initially for Rhino Shield, over the life of the product, it's a lot less.
Rhino Shield ceramic technology is formulated specifically for our unique climate right here in Chicago and stands up to our extreme temperature swings.
We chose Rhino Shield because of the durability of the product. Paints are mostly water. Less water gives you more resilience.
30.
The warranty, 25 years, is something I just don't think you can beat.
We're very excited that we don't ever have to paint again.
Tired of painting? Well, then get Rhino Shield right now for 20% off the regular price.
Really would like to say thank you to their entire staff. Everybody all did exactly what they said they were going to do, exactly the way that I wanted it done.
This offer is for a limited time, so call now,
84-50-1132
or ChicagoRhinoShield.com.
Go Rhino Shield! Go ahead.
I see what you mean.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Maybe that was Jimmy P's request on the six-pack, but there they are. And, yeah, that was Dr. Victor and the Rasta Rebels, Shambhala, 1994, on CSR. Yeah, so South African, I do believe. All right, so we always defer to our first-time callers. They're not as patient. So we're about to meet Dale, and he is from Wheeling, Illinois. Dale, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you. Boy, it's hard to get through. I've been trying to get through for over a week.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
A week ago Wednesday, you had this lady call in about this gentleman, the older gentleman that robbed the bank because he wanted to go to jail.
Yes, yes, and we wondered why he wanted to go to jail. What do you know?
It's supposed to be a true story, but I suspect it's an urban legend.
Okay.
But either way, the gentleman robbed the bank, you know, sat there. The cops came, robbed him. So anyway, he goes through the system. He gets up in front of the judge, and the judge asks him, why in the world did you want to go to jail so bad? He says, Judge, it's my wife. I can't stand it anymore. He says, I really can't. He says, I've got to get out of there. He says, I figure if I go to jail, I got a place to sleep, 3 meals a day, and it won't cost me anything. The judge says, okay, I understand. So I, you've broken the law. I have to punish you. So I verify I'm going to sentence you to 6 months. Home arrest.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Where's the food? Oh, no. That's horrible. I hope that's wrong. But I do remember a story, and it's a while ago, but a guy who robbed a bank to get health care in jail. And it was a guy from North Carolina. This is probably a decade ago. But he robbed the bank for $1. And all he wanted to do was get health care in jail. And I never found out what I should try to look that up and see what the upshot of that case was. But I assume that for only robbing $1, you'd probably not go into prison, that's for sure, and maybe not too long in jail. But yeah, but no, that's great about that. It probably is a joke, but it's darn funny, and I guess it would come to that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I did. I've heard that. I heard about a lady that went through all the social services and everything and couldn't get help, so eventually she just robbed something to go to jail because that way she would get taken care of.
Yeah, no, I've known many stories of individuals who wind up back in jail simply because they just can't make it on the outside. It's not that they want to commit another crime. They just don't want to have to care for themselves.
That's sad.
It is sad. I'm sure the human condition probably would fill treatises from now till the end of time, but it is sad. All right. Well, I'm delighted that you called, and I hope you will again.
I don't know. It takes over a week.
Well, it doesn't always. No, I'll tell you the secret. If you call at the beginning of the show, you know, right between 10 and 10:30 or whatever, usually it's wide open. It only gets full later.
Oh, well, good to know. I had a hard time catching your number. Sometimes you rattle it off.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. Yes, 8888 ROLLYE. That's the easiest way to remember it.
Well, I finally got it.
All right. Well, we're thrilled you did, and we hope to hear from you soon. Thank you, Dale.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great one.
You too. All right. So nice to meet Dale. Now, 888-876, as we bid Dale farewell, let me get the magic twanger here and hang up so there's one line available for you. Indeed. All right. So Linda in Richland Park, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. How are you, Raleigh?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm just fine. There's several things I want to ask you, so I want to make it quick, you know, because I don't want to take up all your time. But the first thing I wanted to mention to you is that you had told me to call you back and let you know which one of the PL copies it was the third one. It was the third song. It had a little calypso like
okay it. Yeah, good deal.
I liked that one best.
Okay.
And then I think the song that you say you found but you can remember what it was or you couldn't find it, was it Come On Baby Light My Fire by Jose Feliciano?
No, I played that.
Oh, there was some song I requested you so you couldn't find.
Well, I wonder what it was, because we played Light My Fire. I played that. Let me see what I have on the list. To see here, I hope I have something on the list. Let's see. Still checking.
I think you played them all.
Maybe I did. Yeah, because
yeah.
Wait a minute. No. I've got a couple I need to play. I did play Eddie Murphy till the money's gone. I hope you heard that.
Yeah, I heard that.
But Tina Marie, I'm not giving up on love.
Oh yeah, Tina Marie. Yeah. I'm never gonna let you go. Oh, I love that song. There was one that I asked you, but I don't want to take all of your time.
That's all right.
There's some things I want to ask. I had mentioned to my sister about that prosperity check.
Yes.
And she was all excited about it. How do you write? What do you do? I said, I don't know. I told her, I think you got to write it 2:10.
Yeah, this today. Yeah, it was earlier today. Yeah, I'll tell you, if you go to Marianne Winkowski, and it's just like it sounds, MarianneWinkowski.com. She explains what it is completely and how to do it.
Marianne Winkowski.
Yeah.
I'll try to remember that because I can't write it down.
No, I understand. Well, you'll remember it. And it'll say along the top menu bar, it's going to say Law of Abundance. And you just click on the Law of Abundance, and it'll tell you what to do. Now, you know, if you petition the universe for it's not just for money, it's abundance. So it could be health, it may be money, it could be anything.
Yeah,
good
that's
stuff.
What she was asking. That.
Right,
yeah,
right. It can be anything. So, you know, you can petition the universe anytime. You can talk to the higher beings and all that. But theoretically, if you do this right before the new moon arrives, it has more power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. So what you're doing is you're making a fake check, usually yellow paper. For some reason, yellow works best.
Mm-hmm.
And the day of the new moon, right before it peaks, write your full name on the pay to line, and then write paid in full on the handwritten amount line. Never date it and never write in an amount, because you don't want to limit the day the abundance arrives, nor do you want to limit how much the abundance will be. And then you sign it, Law of Abundance. But the hardest part about this is you can never throw out the check. You just save it in a box, because if you throw out the check, the abundance can be reclaimed. So I have boxes of these things.
She's going to write hers out, and then she says she's going to, and the memo part she's going to write in the name of Jesus.
I think that's perfectly fine. I don't see a problem with that at all.
Because she say anything that come abundance to anything to me got to come from God. So she said, I'm going to right in there in the name of Jesus. So that's good.
I think that's fine on that line. Now, I'm going to find out when the next new moon is for you, since we passed one today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next new moon is August 23rd, and that'll be at 1:07 in the morning, Saturday, August 23rd. So before you go to bed on Friday, August 22nd, you write it. Because Saturday, August 23rd.
Anytime, you can just write anytime.
Yeah, anytime. As close as you can, but even if it's like today's, I wrote it when I went to bed this morning because I knew I wouldn't be up in time to write it when it happened.
Mm-hmm,
As long as, you know, it's within 12 hours or so, that's never a problem.
Okay, and you said the next one is going to be on the 22nd of
August? Yeah. Actually, it'll happen at 1 in the morning on the 23rd. So write it on the 22nd,
on
Friday.
The 23rd.
Write it on the 22nd, Friday, before you go to sleep.
Okay, I got you. And what I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you remember when the Twin Towers came down.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever recall of anybody showing you a $10 bill or it might have been a $5, and you could fold it, turn it to the back, and you could fold it a particular way, and you could see those planes crashing into the building. Was that before it happened or after it happened?
Well, obviously, it was after it happened that anybody talked about it, because nobody thought about it beforehand.
You're right. Well, I just, you know, just to me, how could that have happened after? Why would someone print up a real $10 bill on the back, you could fold it a particular way, and the planes would crash into the tower?
Well, it looks like the towers. It isn't the towers. There's a stretch of the imagination there as far as that. And I think on some of the social media sites, they can show you how to fold the bill to make it look like the towers and all that that kind of stuff.
I know the kids, my kids was in school, and they came home, Mama, look at this.
Yeah, right.
So
Right.
Also, I was about to follow. I said, what is this? Sabotage? What?
Right. No.
Before or after?
Right. Exactly. But no, it's just one of those origami tricks that makes it look like it.
Oh, all right. Because I know I'm not nuts.
No.
I remember it looked just like it.
Yeah, I know. No, absolutely. The $20 bill is the thing most often used. But
yeah, I thought it was a 20.
Yep,
I wasn't really sure.
Absolutely. And there's like a Wikipedia, WikiHow, that will show you how to fold it and all that kind
mm-hmm,
of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fold it in half lengthwise, you know, all that. And so, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely, you know, but it did not predict the 9/11 attacks. That's for sure. But yeah, there's a lot of people who will talk about the all the things that are hidden in money. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I'm not ready to believe that it was, you know, set that way. But it is fun to look at.
Right. And one last question. I am so bored. I got to find something to do.
Really?
So my sister told me I could do my own podcast. Is that true?
Yeah, of course you can. Absolutely you can. You can do it for free.
Oh, I can do it for free? So what is the first thing I got to do?
Well, first you have to basically find a way to record it. And, you know, probably you can do that on your computer. Probably if you've got a laptop
mm-hmm.
or whatever, there's probably a little free
right.
program.
Uh-huh.
And so record it, and then you can upload it to various places, including YouTube. You can start your own YouTube channel. And it can be the Linda from Richton Park YouTube channel. And, you know, just put up some videos.
Yeah, my kids, if I want to start that, I got to go to Best Buy and buy the proper equipment. They'll tell me at Best Buy.
Nah, it's not. There's not a lot of equipment to buy as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this very basically. You know, you could probably do it just with a phone. You know, so I would definitely look online for ways to do it where you're not spending money, because you shouldn't have to spend any.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a good one. So many people got podcasts. I just seem like I should be able to do something by me being
well. Sure.
My sister says a lady got a podcast. She's blind. She comes on and she cooks.
There's a ton of things. There's a woman who's made a fortune and all she does is wash dogs. And it's hilarious. I mean, a girl with the dogs, I think they call it. And she's Canadian. And I mean, this woman has millions of followers. So she's washing dogs.
And people will send her money?
Well, no. See, no. These things get sponsored. You don't get money directly. You know, like Girl with the Dogs has 3 million subscribers. All right.
Okay, I got you.
So with something like that, obviously, a lot of people would want to sponsor that. In her case, I know she also sells like dog grooming products, shampoo and stuff like that. But the beauty of her is sometimes the dogs are bigger than she is, you know, like giant St. Bernards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she just bathes the dogs and over 3 million people. There's a guy in Russia who made a fortune. He has a... I don't know if it's a puma, but it's a, you know, a wild cat at home. He has it as a pet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the name of the pet is Messi, M-S-S-I, Messi. And Messi the puma. And Messi has over 10 million. Now, that's old. That was 3 years ago. Here's another one. One of his videos got 20 million views, 28 million views. Well, hell, they can retire on that, you know, just the pre-rolls alone. So, and, you know, you can see Messi jumping into the pool and Messi, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. Messi the Puma.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
gotta
sure.
I have something to do because I can't stand it anymore.
Well, no, I understand that. And, you know, these videos are great because, like, for instance, when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, I always look for the near-death experience videos because I don't get so... I'm not so interested that I stay awake, but I'm not so bored that my mind wanders, and usually about 10 minutes.
Right.
But more recently, I've discovered that videos of big dogs or big cats, if I do that for 10 minutes before I take my blood pressure, it's at least 20 points lower.
Oh, all right.
So I sit there and I watch Messi or I, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, what I do after you go off, I usually listen to old-time radio.
That's good.
I either listen to WURD. They have a real good Christian station. It comes on around 2.
Okay, so that's good.
And I just go right on to sleep. I listen to the great Gildersleeve and just go right on to sleep. So.
Yeah. No, so
I don't want to tell you, but I got a cousin that made a record long many years ago. Felipe Wynn and the Spinners, they made a song. It was called Firecracker, I think.
Oh, I don't know. Firecracker.
He changed his name to Felipe Wynn.
Oh, sure. No, I know the name. That's for sure.
And I had a cousin that was background in that.
Okay.
I don't know if his name come up on there, but his name was James Kelly.
All right.
And he background that. Right after that, Felipe Wynn, he died. I don't know what happened to him.
All right. I'm going to look for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I love your show as usual.
Well,
and like I said, that song, Somebody Saved My Life Tonight. I think about that because you saving my life. I get so bored. So
that's so nice
of
you.
God bless you.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you're listening to these old-time radio shows, do you ever listen to yours truly, Johnny Dollar?
Oh, I love Johnny Dollar.
Yeah. I just love the idea of the fabulous freelance insurance investigator with the action-packed expense account. Yeah.
That was the first one I used to listen to, Johnny Dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great, Johnny Dollar. And there's the other ones I listen to also, you know.
Good deal.
Box 13, a whole bunch of stuff. I get bored out of my skin, but I do like Johnny Dollar.
Yeah.
He have a lot of good slang in his
Absolutely.
When he's talking.
Mm-hmm. All right, good deal. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you for listening.
Always, thanks.
Time.
Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll be back to it in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1977 on Cotillion, that's Felipe Wynn. Starting All Over was the name of the album, and that was the name of the first cut. It didn't come out as a single, though, actually. A couple of things from that album did. But it's interesting, because if you have that album on Cotillion, you can look at the credits. And when you do, you'll see James Kelly, which is what Linda and Richmond Park was saying. And he's on tracks A1 through 4 and B2 through 5. And that includes Starting All Over. So Felipe Wynn was at that point. So there you have it, James Kelly. All right, so 888-876-5593. Mark is in Aurora. What's up tonight, Mark?
Well, I remember growing up in Buffalo, and we had a Christian station called WDCX.
Yep.
And it still exists because I was streaming it recently, mm-hmm. and They are at 110,000 watts, and they also, when I was growing up, they were owned by Crawford Broadcasting.
They still
Company.
Are, as now, far as
are
I
they
know.
Still, they still are.
They
okay,
still are.
Okay.
Absolutely, Don Crawford. Now, you betcha. And yeah, and it's a lot of preaching and teaching. So they're making their money brokering it.
Yeah.
So sure, and it's in Allentown, basically. And the transmitter is off of Zimmerman Road, I think. But
now, what gives a station the right to be up at 110,000 watts? Because most of them are
grandfathered.
Most of the high ones are
grandfathered.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And if they were to make a move, they would lose it. Not unusual, like I mentioned when we were talking to Nick. WYOR in Miami had 150,000, and when they made their move, they moved the tower site. That was the end of 150,000. Wood in Grand Rapids, I think, had more than 150,000. Same deal. You can do it, but if you make any changes, you lose it.
Actually, I was acquainted with Reese Rickards, the newsman at WJJD, and I spoke with, one day I called a station in Grand Rapids and spoke with his son, and I thought he was pulling my leg, but I subsequently found out that he probably wasn't, that his station was 350,000 watts, and then they found it was prohibitive to run the transmitter. Cost prohibitive, so they reduced power. But I mean, imagine that 350,000 watts. Maybe that's why I picked them up so often in Aurora, Illinois, because they could reach that far.
Yeah, it was grandfathered in. But remember, unlike AM, when you have an FM at 350,000 watts, well, no, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking about you're not running 350,000 actual watts. You see, your forward power, depending, you know, if you're at 5,800 feet, your forward power for that 100 kilowatt may actually be something like 1,100 watts. See, the height is what's giving you that ERP. Now, with AM, if you're a 50,000 watt AM station, by golly, you're running 50,000 watts, and that is just cost prohibitive. And, you know, but for FM, if you've got the vantage point, you'd be surprised how little power you need to run to get to the full 100.
Well, and something else I remember from growing up in Buffalo, I talked with an engineer at Rock 102.5 WBEN, and he told me that they were modulating just at the clipping point. In other words, it wasn't the clipping wasn't audible, but it was there. And I will never forget, I was staying one night with a man in Watertown, New York, who had his FM tuner hooked up to his TV antenna. And I got most of the big Buffalo stations from Watertown, New York, including WBEN, which had a noticeably louder audio because of the way they were modulating. It was on 102.5. I believe they were 100,000 watts.
That's MJQ. They were 110,000. But they were about 1,340 feet. Do not ask me why I know this, but I do know it. Now, Wood... I knew him.
You mean 102.5 is now WMJQ?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, why did they change their call letter?
Oh, yeah. Ask them. I don't know. But they're
Buffalo. They were the FM affiliate of the Buffalo Evening News.
Yeah. No, that 1,340 feet. So nice height there. But I only knew about Wood being about 265,000. But it might have been 350 at one time. Now WMC in Memphis was 300,000. Oh, K101, man, that's just a beautiful signal. I mean, that was Jim Gabbert, just the best.
Where is K101?
San Francisco. It was the only station in all of San Francisco that covered the metro because of all the hills and everything else like that.
When you say it was a beautiful signal, what do you mean?
It blanketed the area when no other FM did.
Oh,
you just couldn't get it.
I mean,
you'd go into the Contra Costa Tunnel, you wouldn't come out at the other end with a radio station, you know. So Gabbert should win awards, but for a lot of reasons politically, he doesn't, which is a shame. But yeah, K101 in San Francisco had 125,000. So you see that now. What I think is interesting is when you see someone over 100,000 that has height, like there's a station in Santa Barbara that has like 3,000. 1,000 feet, and they're 105,000.
Yeah.
So that's nice. That's really nice.
Oh, they now, go all, I mentioned they go all over the place.
Now, BCT in Grand Rapids, that might be the station you're thinking of, not Wood. BCT had about 320,000 watts. Wood have about 265, but that 320, you know, I mean, we're not, what, about 700 feet or something? It wasn't real high.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
I know that a lot of the transmitters on the Hancock Tower and the Sears Tower don't broadcast with very high powers.
Well, no, they're absolutely broadcasting with high powers. They're not, the forward power is low. In other words, what matters isn't what the forward power is. It's what is the ERP, what's coming out of the signal. And then the
Why is it called forward power?
Because it's forward power because that's the amount of power you're putting into the antenna to get the 100,000 out of it, or the 50,000, depending on which bar. So you have two forms of power that's happening there. One is your forward power. That's how many watts you have to push in. But remember that there's going to be some resistance in that antenna. You're going to get some reflected power. Yeah. So you want to know what your reverse power is, and you want as little as possible. So maybe you've got 3,400 watts forward and 2 watts reverse. You know, something like that. But that matters.
Yeah.
You always want to know what your reverse power is doing. And there's a lot of reasons that reverse power will rise. So, anyway. But, yeah, that's... for FM,
like what,
height
like
is
what
your friend.
What would be an example of causing it to rise?
My hawks. Okay, I was just talking about somebody today. I was talking to somebody today on my AM. My hawks. Remember I had a hawk that grounded out my tower? And
it was, I remember that.
Yeah, right. Trip. Well, so here's the deal. My Nautel transmitter was smart. It was going to cut off. It had a failsafe. You know, it was not going to allow that to happen. So what I did was I had to sacrifice my gates. And basically, I just knew that I was going to fry everything in it, but I would, because of the reverse power, which was enormous, but it wouldn't shut off. So I probably got 75 watts out of it for as long as I needed to. Now, of course, it's away and every element in it's being replaced. So, but it was worth it at the time. But there's all sorts of reasons you're getting reflected power. What's your transmission line like? There's a number of things. But you want as little of it as you can get, obviously.
Yeah. And now, as far as you know, did WKBW have a good ground plane?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, firstly, remember with AM, half of it is your ground system. So you couldn't have WKBW signal without a tremendous ground system.
Although, I always found it funny that in the daytime, they didn't seem to go that far, and that was because up at 1520, they wouldn't have a very long ground wave. But at night, there's sky wave.
Right,
it went
Out
into the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, right, of course. Of course.
And up at that frequency, a station begins to behave like a shortwave station.
Arguably. All right. We're not going to have that discussion, but yes. All right. So,
begins. Those frequencies between 1610 and 1700, I think that's why they operate on reduced power. I picked up WVON at night out in Virginia.
Yeah, but one of the things about the EB, the extended band, is that there are so fewer stations on it that you don't have the conflicts that you would otherwise. I think that's more important. There used to be a little station in Ogden, Utah, that I used to sit at Old Faithful in Yellowstone and listen to in the day. And it was at 1660. And they ripped off somebody's old jingle package from Fort Worth and were playing oldies. And it was just, I thought I was the only person at Old Faithful listening to it. But, I enjoy the hell out of them.
Although the extended band is getting a lot more crowded because I noticed that when I listen to those frequencies at night, there's a lot of beating going on and so on.
And you also have to get into harmonics. There's a number of other things. And apart from all of that is that AM is so prone to the, interference from everything, from your dimmer switch to your microwave oven, so. of course.
Yeah, and I'm lucky that I live in an apartment that isn't subject to much of that. In fact, when I do the initial optimizing on the Sea Crane radio, it doesn't choose the lower sensitivity on any region of the band, because for some reason in this apartment building, we are relatively free from radio noise.
Yeah, and also the way it's built.
That.
Well, no, there's also the way it's built, because obviously in some construction, you're constraining AM just by virtue of how it's constructed, so that makes a big difference too.
Yeah, and that's why I'm glad I live on the fifth floor, because I can get a heck of a lot of stuff up here.
Oh, yeah. No, when I was in Philadelphia, I was effectively on the 13th floor. It was actually, they called it the 11th floor, but there were a couple other floors. But that's where, you know, I almost fell to my death. I lost a radio, not me. But I was trying to pick up some station, and suddenly this record that I just dearly loved, Send My Baby Back, it came on. And I'm like, I got to hear this. And so I rush out to the porch, and I've got my Sea Crane radio, and I'm going in every direction because I want to hear this before it's over. And bottom line is I basically almost fell off the porch. And I did lose the radio.
Oh.
I lost my balance and all this because I'm hanging over it. But yeah, so at that point, I remember getting on the radio after that. And I said, now, listen, if you ever hear that I've leapt to my death, no, it's just something I wanted to hear on the radio. So, yeah, send my baby back. Maybe I'll play that next week.
Yeah, I've never taken my Crane radio out on our patio. I should see what that does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, don't lean over.
But, you know, being totally blind, I got to be careful. Yeah. Being tall and totally
right.
blind,
no.
Be careful I don't go over the railing.
Right, do not lean over. Don't even think about it. But yes, yes, go out there and check it out. All right, well, good to talk to you. Thanks, Mark.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. I got to find Send My Baby Back, and we'll be back, hopefully. We'll talk to Bill and DeFran, and we'll see how far we get. Maybe James, Chris, and Eduardo on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, there was about 3:30 in the morning, and Ollie Hackett, on WHAT, came on, and man, I just had to hear it, you know, because I hadn't heard it in so long. I'm like, I have to hear it. So damn near fell to my death trying with the radio outside, picking up that lousy 1340 signal. But anyway, Freddie Hughes, not to be confused with Fred Hughes, and that was on Wand. And unfortunately, Wand's pressings were just like Scepter, were awful. And if you got one of the singles that was like to the end of that, that master, that plate, it was just going to sound horrible. And so I had to buy like 5 copies of that record to get one that was decent on polystyrene. But, you know, that was worth it, too. I just loved it. Freddie Hughes. All right. So I'm done entertaining myself and I'm talking to you. I've got Fran and Austin. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I dropped a radio off a 7th floor balcony.
So you know.
Trying to...
Yes. Yes.
Fortunately, I didn't hurt myself, but I was trying to get, I don't even, I think actually it was just, I was trying to figure out what the heck station I was listening to.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know how that happens whenever they go to the station ID,
yes.
It gets all staticky.
Absolutely.
I was trying to figure out what I was listening to, and I was trying to clear it up.
Yep.
And the next thing I knew, the radio slipped out of my hand and made a nice clunky sound.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, no. And I loved that radio, too.
Of course, because that was the one where you picked up all the stations. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a precursor. I'd never heard of course, Seek. Well, what probably didn't exist at that time.
They didn't. But there were some very, you know, those Zenith Royal series, the 265, 275, 285, those were great radios for that. And some of the Panasonics, early Panasonics, were terrific, too.
Oh, yeah, I had one that I really loved it. But anyway, you were talking at the beginning of the show about cars, and it reminded me, I was going out with this guy in high school.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was a car fanatic, and he had a 57 Chevy, and real proud of it, and, you know, was always working on it. Well, anyway, he used to take me to car lots at night. Sometimes, and he would, you know, show me some of the different cars, and then, you know, he would show, and then we'd go back another time, and he'd say, okay, what is this car?
Ah.
You know, and what is that? And I couldn't tell you what they were then or what the difference was, but there definitely, you know, were some cars that I kind of liked the shape of, you know, or the feeling of, and I got it in my mind that, and I don't know why, now I can't remember, but I told him, I want a red Karmann Ghia.
Oh, my. Okay.
I remember liking the shape of that car. It was kind of had a smooth, I don't know, there's something about the shape of it that I really liked.
No,
for some reason, I thought it should be red.
You did know, by the way, that they were made by Volkswagen, didn't you?
I did.
Okay.
I did, but still wanted one. It didn't matter to me.
Yeah. I'll tell you, even though they were made by Volkswagen, some were made in Germany. Some of those Karmann Ghias were made in Brazil.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Over 40,000 of them were made in Brazil.
And talking about car envy, I can kind of see it in a way. When I was in high school, for some reason, I was very embarrassed because my mother drove a Rambler.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, oh, my God, Mom, can't you buy a cooler, hipper car than that? You know, Rambler. And when I was a real little girl, she drove this thing that sounded like a motorized roller skate. It was called a Metropolitan, I think it was called.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Because I used to get mixed up when I was a little girl and call it a Neapolitan.
That yeah, was right. No, it was the Nash Metropolitan. That's why you thought Neapolitan, the Nash Metropolitan. Yes.
Well, I was thinking, I think I was thinking about the ice cream, you know, with the Neapolitan ice cream that has the chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla in it.
Right.
Leave it to me to think about food even then. But
no, and that car was designed in America. It's frightening to think. And that was the Nash Kelvinator Corporation. So,
oh my God.
Oh yeah, the Nash Kelvinator. And man, I hadn't thought about the Metropolitan in years. It was a dog, no doubt about that.
I could definitely tell, you know, when my mom drove up, I could definitely tell because that thing sounded like a motorized roller skate or something.
It was close. It was very close, yes, yes, absolutely. And, the Metropolitan, and then by the end of the 50s, there was only the Nash Ambassador. And, that was, that of course, you know, later you thought about it as being Ramblers and stuff like that. But yeah, that was right. I don't know how long they lasted, but obviously your mother had it for a while.
Oh, yeah, sure, because I just remember having it when I was, you know, real little, and she was a tall woman, you know, because women weren't as tall.
Oh, no, this is terrible. I just realized something. It's after 11 o'clock. Brett is being so nice. Not only is the show over, but the news is on. I will talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Thanks. All right, and apologies to Bill and James and Chris and Eduardo. I'm really sorry. And a big apologies to Brett, who put up with me all week and kept me on the air. And John, who screened your calls. And you who called. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Live Monday Night Trivia, Monday Night Replay tomorrow night. So until Monday night, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.